Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, traders are really smiling this morning, especially those bulls that wanted to bank some profits. They got everything they wanted.
It was quite an exciting report. The bean number was, of course, the real surprise. As most everybody was thinking, the bean yields had been extremely good. We weren't looking for a setback in the bean carryout like we saw, Dave. But, we were looking for a setback in the number in the corn. Basically got the number that we were looking for, or most of the Dow Jones survey averages said. But we still had that nice little surge that pushing us over $6 at one point in the December corn that we'd been predicting for quite a while.
And you still begin to puzzle about that residual number in corn and what it implies. They increased that number, I believe. No, they decreased that number, I believe, by 100 million bushels, and I'm not quite sure what it means.
Well, there's a lot of people in that camp, Dave. We're not sure what they mean by the residual number much anymore. It's sort of their fudge number to get where I want to get to. And I think that that's, probably the case. I mean, along the way, we are seeing some tremendously good usage. We were last night on the airplane, we were sitting next to one of the plant managers for an ethanol plant, and they said that they were running full steam and making good money right now, so we're going to look and continue to see good ethanol usage as long as the ethanol price can keep up with the corn price moving up here. So they weren't having any trouble buying $6 corn and making some money on it, so I think that is the key to things here, is keeping the ethanol production going strong.
Did you have when you had that conversation, did you relate that also to gasoline rack prices?
I think they said they were getting somewhere basically around $2.48 was what they'd been selling their ethanol for as far as things went along the way, Dave.
So we are sitting here thinking that the corn crop indeed got smaller. Now, we would probably not expect it to get smaller again in January. Should not all the... Given that we harvest was so early, should not all the samples be in? Should this not be fairly reflective of January numbers?
Well, I think you used that word should be. That would actually be what we would think. We do have a tendency in most cases for crops that continue to get smaller, continue to get smaller along the way. Will it continue to shrink from here? It's going to be a hard question to say here, but you would think that with the degree of harvest completed at the time when the statistics were taken, this should be fairly accurate at this point in time, Dave.
So everybody was leaning the wrong way on bean production. A lot of people were. Mike Zuzulo had it right in the Ag E-letter this past weekend. His customers were saying no way it was going to get smaller. I wonder, though, where do we go from here? Because we've hit a lot of technical objectives that we've been talking about for a while, and the next one up is at that rarefied $14 level.
Well, I think that basically you did say the one thing. We have hit a lot of the technical objectives at this point in time. We will continue to see, I think, some tightness in the beans. We've sold off from our highs already today, and we'll want to wait and see how the day's trade ends up to feel whether we're going to be shooting immediately to next goal or not. I think that this has probably set some plateaus for the meantime, and we're maybe going to sit back and take a wait-and-see attitude. That doesn't mean we have to sell off. That just means we probably aren't going to go straight up from here. I don't think we will. I think that we talked seriously along the time that somewhere in that 620 to 625 mark is where we thought the corn would go to and probably stabilize for a while. We looked at the March corn, it got 617 this morning. That's very close to the 620 mark, 623 in the May. So we're not overly optimistic, but we're not negative at this point in time.
With what USDA reported for 2010-11 world numbers on beans out of Argentina and Brazil, both of those numbers got pretty bigger, pretty much significantly larger. Do you think we ought to look at new crop marketings for the year beyond?
You know, I think that every farmer can look at his own instance like that, but you do think that there is some real opportunities to possibly start a program here along the way. If you know, and if you want to, if you're going to be anything what you'd call aggressive, you can always put a bull call spread on out there. Just in, and you don't have to go clear out your new crop stuff to do that to protect things. So, you know, along the way, we see nothing wrong with if you have your ground locked in, you got your fertilizer on, and some costs. These are some tremendous prices, Dave, and I think that even if they did go higher, it shouldn't be a bad place to have 20% of your crop sold.
I suppose lost in all the bullish numbers and momentum in beans and corn is that USDA this month did a revision in wheat, and they usually don't do it this time, but they lowered, I believe, both yield and harvested acres.
Very unusual this time of year to be changing the wheat. And, of course, we're seeing the reflection of two things in the wheat crop there today, that number and also the ratings just continue to not be very good as far as the wheat going. You know, very, very, very short of moisture. A lot of wheat's just not coming up and not looking very good.
All right, Wayne. Thanks much. We'll see how the market plays out on the day.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in New Market, Indiana.